Welcome back to the ESO to Go podcast. I'm your host, Redbird, and with me today is my stunningly gorgeous friend, BDLG.
Yes. Now, yes, that is the type of intro I'm talking about, Red. See, you live and you learn, man.
Yo,
we were just talking about living and learning, and you lived and learned. That's what, yes, you nailed it, dude. That's what I expect from here on out, man. Those are the intros that I deserve, all right?
I mean, I don't know. You know, here's the thing. You gave me a lot of heat last time for giving you a bad intro. And now, like, this one may have been a little bit ingenuous. Does that make it any different? Or you just like to hear the words out of my mouth?
No, dude, I don't care. You know, it doesn't matter to me if you meant it or not because you said it, you know, and that's all that matters.
Okay.
And it can never be too much, right? You could have kept going with the titles. I would have been cool.
All right. Well, we'll save that for another time, my friend. All right. How was your weekend, ESO, dude?
Man, it was good. I didn't get to spend as much time in ESO this week as I would have wanted. I've been sick, and you may be able to tell now I'm kind of sick. So I want to go ahead and apologize ahead of time to the listeners for this episode. If I sound a little bit more silly, a little bit more, moronic than usual, which that's probably an every episode occurrence.
It's impossible.
Anyway,
just
cut me a little bit slack. All right. I'm running a little bit of a fever. I'm a little bit under the weather, but other than that, my weekend ESO was great, man. I got a couple more characters ready to do writs. I've been on this big writ kick here lately, and I'm trying to make a lot of money. I should have been doing it from the get go, but got those ready to do writs, and I've just been doing more. I can't get away from BGs, man. They're too fun. So I've been doing more BGs, and most importantly, I've been doing stuff with the new guild, with the new House SL guild. It's been a lot of fun. We've been running some dungeons. We've been doing some BGs, and we've just been hanging out, and that's been my week. It's been a good one.
Same for me, man. I mean, we've been hanging out a lot, trying to work with our guild members and new guild. We're up to 12, I think, which is, you know, we're heading in the right direction, man. We're not losing members. We're gaining members. We had an opportunity to design our our guild tabard, which, you know, needs a little bit of work still, I will admit. But we're, you know, again, we're heading in the right direction. Same goes for me. Doing a lot of BGs. Really need to. I think we both are in the same boat. We need to start working on our new build with update 24 changing so many different things. I think it's going to change our builds drastically. I know a lot of my builds use the fortified brass set, which is changing. So yeah. But I've been having a lot of fun in there as well with the guild. So good stuff.
No doubt, man. It's been a good time.
All right, and we're going to use this opportunity, Bordy, we got our first ever comment on the iTunes podcast network or market or whatever you want to call it. So we're going to give them a shout out on the episode, man.
Yes, it's awesome. I read that and I was over the moon excited. So I'll let you take it away, man.
All right, so the first ever comment goes to RadDad20, who happens to be one of the newest members of the House SL Guild. He says, found this podcast through a shout out on Lore Seekers, which again, thank you, Lore Seekers, for giving us a shout out. Awesome guys. Great content and awesome chemistry between Red and BDLG. Excited to be a part of this community and participate in the upcoming guild events. Ran some BGs with Bordy and Red the other day and had a blast. Thank you guys so much for starting this podcast and this guild. What a nice guy.
Dude, doesn't that just make you feel amazing? I mean, that makes you feel, it makes me feel really good, dude, to have someone like that leave a comment. He did not have to do that. It was extremely appreciated. And it just made me, for one, want to continue doing it and to continue doing guild stuff and to continue growing the guild. It was awesome, man. Just that made my day. I might be sick, but that comment made me feel a whole lot better.
The best kind of medicine.
Dude, it was.
Yeah, I mean, we met him. He's in the guild now. We did run BGs with him. You ran a dungeon with him tonight. He's a super cool guy. So that makes it even more, I mean, like, more rewarding to have a nice person say nice things about you, right?
Yes, absolutely. And before we get started on the other stuff, I just want to take a really, really quick minute to say, again, thank you to Lore Seekers for shouting us out. That was amazing. And I want to say thank you to our listeners, man. This has been, it's been insane. The podcast has grown tremendously over the course of 8 episodes. And I just wanted to take a minute to tell you guys how much we appreciate you listening to the podcast. It means a whole lot to us. And so thank you. It's crazy. It's really doing, we're doing well with the podcast, I would say. You know, maybe not great by some standards, but I think for two dudes who this is our first shot at, I think we're doing great, Red. I just wanted to take that time to say a big thank you to you guys who took time out of your day to listen to our podcast so far.
Yes, well said, well said. All right, we got a nice show tonight here. Lots of new stuff to cover. They've been busy on the ESO front as far as news and updates and stuff like that. So tonight we're gonna hit the Slay Dragon Save Cats charity event that's going on inside of the game. You can actually kill dragons and earn real money to help animal adoption and, you know, and stuff like that. So I think that's an awesome thing that that the ESO community is doing. The Dragon Rise, the pre-event for the upcoming Dragonhold expansion. There's going to be lots of cool stuff leading up to that. So it's going to be, you know, cool to cover and actually kind of do with our guild. So we're going to talk about that as well. They added another Crown Store showcase, which is basically all of the Halloween-themed items. And then in closing, we are going to talk about the class identity article. It just happened to come up right after we posted our other episode. But a lot of good stuff in there, man. We're going to kind of hash that out and kind of give our own opinions on the direction that they're going there.
Yeah, for sure. I'm excited about the episode, man. We got a lot of good stuff to talk about.
All right. So let's hop right in here with our first topic. And that would be Slay Dragons, Save Cats. So basically, what's going to happen is throughout this period, I believe throughout the pre-release event, the Dragon, before Dragonhold, they are going to donate for every 5 dragons slain, we'll donate $1 to the cause of Best Friends Animal Society and Four Paws, which are two charities involving saving animals and animal adoption and stuff like that. They're going to donate $1 up to $200,000. So if we do quick math, Bordy, that is 1 million dragons in game slain.
It's a lot, but I bet the ESO community steps up and makes that happen, man. How cool is it that they do stuff like this? I think this is amazing. You don't see a lot of games doing this type of thing, and this is really cool. Not only does it help bring the community together, it helps bring the community together for a really good cause, and it's really cool. I'm looking forward to running around killing dragons with our guild and meeting some new friends. It's gonna be a good time.
And here's the thing, I feel like the ESO community is one of the biggest cat loving communities out there, because let's face it, you know, if you like cats, you're playing in Khajiit. And if you like Khajiit, you're playing ESO, right? So,
without a doubt, dude.
That streamer, she's really cool. She has a Khajiit as her avatar in her stream.
Her name is T the Khajiit. Yes. Yeah.
I mean,
she's awesome, man.
Yeah, she's really cool. And you know, the community, I think, loves Khajiits, and then in turn loves cats, real life cats. And so this is going to be a lot of fun, exciting seeing people kind of come together to kill dragons, you know, to earn real money to help adopt animals and find safe places for animals to live. So it's going to be awesome, man. And they also have in-game and real-life things that you can earn during these periods as well. So it'll be cool. Where are those listed at, Bordy?
I think that's on the next thing. I think that's on the other event that they're running. I don't think that's the Save a Cat event. Okay, well, I think we'll get to that here in just a second.
That's a natural transition to our next topic.
Boom. Boom. Look at that. Professional.
Dude, you know what I mean? 9 episodes under my belt. it shows, man, with my transitional skills. All right, so work together and unlock exclusive rewards during the Dragon Rise event. So basically, the Dragon Rise event kicks off Thursday, October 3rd, which is tomorrow. Well, it's yesterday if you're listening to our podcast on Friday. Thursday, October 3rd at 10 a.m. Eastern time, runs until Monday, October 14th. The event, there are 3 exclusive rewards to grab. The Green Dragon Imp Pet, the Grim Harvester Costume, and the Dragon Treasure Trove Furnishings. So the final reward is more than audacious display of wealth you can place in your home. However, it is also features a series of lootable bags that provide all kinds of amazing items, including new test dummy. Ooh. However, that's not all. As during the Dragon Rise, you can also unlock bonus XP and gold acquisitions for the entire Northern Elsweyr zone.
Dope, dude.
Yeah.
That's all. I'll want the dude. I'm going to do the event and get everything. It sounds so good. It's so fun.
Well, dude, this really does kind of tie into that, that charity event, because it sounds like you're going to earn all these things while hanging out in Elsweyr, slaying dragons and everything like that. So it seems like, you know, it kind of ties in really nicely.
And it might. The dates might overlap, and I might have been wrong about that. This says, what, Thursday, October 3rd until Monday, October 14th? And I don't remember. What was the date for the save, the slay dragon, save the cast?
I do not remember off the top of my head.
I want to say they... Oh, yeah, here it is. It's from now until December 9th.
All right.
Yes, we have a little bit longer to slay dragons, but both of those are definitely going to overlap. So, yeah, dude, look at that.
Right? And do some double dipping.
Yeah.
Yeah, so to unlock these awards, all Elsweyr players must work together to complete different activities and fill the 3 Dragon Rise meters. Explore Elsweyr and earn Northern Elsweyr Pathfinder achievement to unlock the primary reward, which is check your in-game journal to help achieve that. Slay dragons to unlock a zone-wide XP boost, which in turn, you know, is a good way to earn CP. I'm assuming that will stack upon our other EXP boost, wouldn't you think?
I would think so, yeah.
So, and this is very interesting. Sad kind of ties in with that charity event as well. Since Elsweyr's chapter release, you've already bested over 1 million dragons. So that kind of tells us what Elsweyr came out at what point this year? Mid-year?
I think in June. Came out in June.
So from June to October, we've slayed over 1 million. So...
without any kind of event going on, so I bet we reached the million dragons as an ESO community well before that deadline in December. That'd be my guess.
I would assume the same as well. Compete the Dragonhold Prologue quest, which is the new quest line to lead up to the newest bit of content, to unlock a zone wide gold acquisition boost. So that'll be, you know, it'll be cool to kind of see what they're doing as far as tying the stories together. And it seems like they're going to reward you with increased gold acquisition inside of the Elsweyr zone. So,
yeah, pretty cool. I'm excited for it. I'm ready to dive into the story. I think it's going to be fun. I'm really excited for the last chapter. There's so many events coming up, dude. It's going to be so good. There's so much stuff. We haven't even got to the other events yet. This is insane.
It's going to be a good time. Awesome. A good time to play ESO. So the Elsweyr, just tied into this event, the Elsweyr chapter is going to go on sale 50% off all editions of Elder Scrolls Elsweyr, including the standard, digital collectors and the collector's edition. So that'll be cool for anybody who hasn't already bought or owns Elsweyr. And that's all last until only until October 8th. And October 16th if you're on PlayStation, so visit our page now. That's a very short period. I mean, if you listen to the podcast on the day that it's released, it gives you 4 days to kind of decide if you want to take advantage of that. So the Dragonhold Prologue Quest, we are thrilled to announce that the Prologue Quest will go live October 8th at 10 a.m., because it's part of the base game, you don't need to own or completed previous chapters or DLCs to check them out. In these 2 new quests, you must assist in a turn Sisahan explore the lost histories of the Dragon Guard in hopes of acquiring the ancient relic to help turn the tides of battle against the dragons and threaten all of Elsweyr. The Dragonhold Prologue quests lead you directly into the events of Dragonhold DLC that coming in Quarter 4. They have not actually released the time in which that's gonna DLC drops, but
I think it's gonna be October. They kind of released something a little bit that I seen on Twitter earlier, and I think the Lore Seekers posted it. I'll have to find that post, but it was it kind of it said something I don't remember the exact wording or what it was, but it said something was coming to the Crown Store, something on in October. Didn't specify a date, but it did say October. And then ESO, Elder Scrolls Online, their Twitter just posted eyeballs underneath that post. So might have been a little bit of a leak there. We might be getting it in October. Yeah.
All right, man. So that would be awesome to jump right in there. And this event ends, or it starts August 8th and ends on the 14th. So maybe that's a date that we should keep our eyes on, possibly.
Yeah.
Okay, so again, with almost all events, there's going to be rewards that you can earn through event tickets, which I happen to have a lot of since I missed my other purchase ability. So basically, during the Dragon Rise event, all regular monsters in Northern Elsewhere have a chance to drop a rare event ticket. However, should you slay a boss monster in the same zone, the event ticket is guaranteed. Don't forget to loot everything you defeat. You can earn up to 2 tokens this way on each day of the event. During the event period, the Impresario will stock the following items: the Caldwell style set, Abner Tharn style, the Onyx Endric pet, all 4 Endric feathers, all 4 Onyx Endric berries. So this has kind of been the pet this year, it seems like, is that Onyx
Endric. The Endric, yeah. The Endric is not my favorite, but it looks cool. There's one coming up here in just a second we're going to see, I think, in the Crown Store show. I think it's in the Crown Store showcase. It looks pretty dope. It's probably the only one that I would want out of all the Endrics. So I may try to actually get that one, but we'll see it.
All right, and again, finally, every time you spend event tickets you earn by doing in-game events, you'll earn a bonus entries into the Season of the Dragon sweepstakes. Up to a maximum of 10, which again it allows you to get an opportunity to earn in-game and real life loot. So that'll be awesome, man. It will be good fun, and again, I think tying it in with the charity will also make it that much more rewarding as we compete or take part at these events.
Yeah. Pretty dope, man. Pretty dope. So there's also on the other page we were on, Red, that there's a whole lot of other events. You want to go through those real quick too?
Yeah, what page?
The one you were on before, the first one, the one that talks about the
Slay the Dragons.
Slay Dragon, Save Cats hashtag. Earn new rewards during in-game events. That title.
I don't have... Oh, okay. All right, so this period also features a ton of fun events, bringing new rewards to you and fellow adventurers. Here's what's coming up in the next year, or in the end of the year. So Dragon Rise goes from 10-3 to 10-13. Explore the home of the Khajiit and complete the Northern Elsewhere Pathfinder achievement to unlock new collectibles from all Elsewhere owners. For all Elsewhere owners, check your progression on the website, which I know mine's 0 because I haven't done the quest yet. That's another story. Witches Festival, 10-24 to 11-3. Tamriel's Grim Celebration returns with ghastly quests and spooky new rewards.
I love the Witches Festival, man. So
fun. Yeah, they got a lot of cool items that we'll kind of talk about later that are in there. So. Undaunted Celebration, 11-14 to 11-17. Take out on an ASS challenging dungeons to receive reward boxes. That's pretty cool. Dawn of the Dragon Guard. Fell dragons to earn bonus loot and earn double rewards for Wrathsun DLC, Elsewhere Chapter, Scalebreaker DLC, and Dragonhold DLC. That's a lot of different DLCs, and I would assume there will be some kind of sell on those DLCs within that period, or if they hold true to what they've kind of done in the past.
Yeah, I bet you're right.
So, and last but not least, is the New Life Festival, which happens on 12/19 to 1/1/20. Celebrate the end of the year, and obviously the holiday season, and the beginning of a new one with fun quests and mud balls. Lots of mud balls. Okay, so here is a new Endric. Each event, both new and returning rewards, including collectible pets and costumes and furnishings. During each event, you can also earn event tickets, allowing you to purchase the Endric feathers and berries you'll need to acquire the exclusive Pure Snow Endric. I like
there
that
it
one,
is.
Dude. I like
there
that one.
There it is, dude. That's the one I want, man. It's
so I want school, dude. I'll have to save my berries,
yes,
or whatever.
Yes. So here's here's my big reason for wanting it, okay? It brings back a lot of nostalgia for me. Back in the day, I played a game called Ultima Online. I'm an old man, and you know, my gaming roots go deep, right? So UO was amazing to me. And in that game, I played on a player-run server, and they had special dyes on that server, and one of them looked almost identical to this color, and that's the color that my guild wore back then in that game. And so it brings back some nostalgia, man, and it just, not to mention, it just looks amazing. It's so cool. I got to get it, man. Got to make sure I make that one happen.
It is a pretty cool-looking one, for sure. So even better, every time you acquire Endric feathers or berries with ticket events earned via endgame activities, you'll get the bonus entry to the Season of Dragons sweepstakes, which we kind of touched base on before. Finally, don't forget to slay dragons and help increase the cause for Slay the Dragons, Save the Cats. So the sweepstakes, this is what the sweepstakes basically is. In addition to the charity support event, you also have the ability to win in-game and real-world prizes with our Season of the Dragon sweepstakes. We're giving away a ton of amazing loot this year, including ESO merchandise such as the Horn of Yotter, drinking horn, and in-game rewards such as pets, mounds, and crown packs.
I think it's Jadari. I think. I'm not real sure, though.
Are you sure?
No, dude, I am not sure, but it sounds better than Yotter, Red.
Yadari.
Come on, man. It's Jadari. We need to consult with some kind of lore master here, all right? We need to phone a friend. I think it's Jadari. That's what I think.
Okay, well, I'm going to go with Yadari. I didn't see the I at the end, so I get to retry, and mine's Yadari.
Okay, that sounds a little better at least than Yadar.
Yeah. Okay, I missed the eye. I said that. Okay, so we'll have multiple prize drawings throughout a few months, culminating in a few final draw of the grand prize, a wall-mounted, that's a dragon name, called Granted.
Yes. There, you nailed it. You nailed it, dude.
Cal Granted? Yeah, Dragonhead Trophy. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Dragonhead Trophy, the ultimate talented team at Vulpin Drops will craft this amazing real world furnishing for the grand prize winner, forever celebrating their ultimate victory over the Dragons of Elsewhere. Dude, I want the Dragonhead.
How big do you think it's going to be? How big do you think a mounted Dragonhead will be? Do you think they'll make it like really huge, scale? Or do you think they'll make it like a, you know, kind of like your typical like mounted deer or, you know, something like that? Surely it's going to be something like that. If they make it huge, it's not going to fit anyone's house.
Well, I mean,
but
you
it's
know,
dope. I would, dude, how sick would it be to have a dragon head trophy mounted in your house? Dude, that's insane.
That would be awesome. Obviously, you know, you gotta sweeten up the wife. Probably to hang that sucker anywhere else other than the garage. But
yeah, it would be a tough sell without it. It would definitely be a tough sell.
Yeah. But I mean, you know, hey, if you earned it, then I'll worry about that problem later. You know what I'm saying? I just want the dragon head.
Yeah.
All right. Well, sorry I missed that. I obviously scrolled through that a little too quickly.
It's all good, man.
All right, so moving on to the Crown Source Showcase for October. These happen very frequently, I think, so.
They happen a lot, yeah. They happen a lot. But I think they do them, you know, different seasons for different things, man. And I'm not opposed to them because they're just cosmetic stuff. So you have the option to acquire some really cool stuff. And then if you don't want them, then that's fine. You don't have to buy them.
Yeah, I think they're awesome. I think the more the merrier. The diversity of looks and mounts and everything, it only increases the atmosphere of the game. So I'm all about it, dude. I really feel like I wanted some of the Mooncrate stuff, and I feel like that stuff is being switched out. So I need to hurry up and get in there, I guess.
I'm not sure if it's getting switched out. I don't know what the rotation is like that. I know they're putting in new crates, but I don't know if the other ones get switched out because new crates are for a very limited time. So I think the Mooncrates might last through the Dragonhold event, I think. Could be wrong, but I think.
All right, well, that's good. That'll make me more likely to get the mount that I want. Okay, so the exclusive free item is Mephala, Web Spinner Statue, which is a nice one of those little statuettes that we get free for being a ESO Plus member. They're all pretty cool looking. I haven't put them in my house yet, but I'll find a home for them eventually, I'm sure.
Yes. We got to back up a second and look at that freaking cat with the witch's hat on, dude. That is the most amazing little pet in the game right there, dude. That's so dope, man. I like it. Okay. Yeah, anyway, yeah. The statue does look cool, though. The statue looks cool, too. I like it. The Mafala, the web spinner. It's dope.
Yeah, so the mount or the flagship mount for this time is the Gout Fang Cinch Rot. So it's one of those buff looking cinch cats again. Kind of has like a red tint to the, like a tigerish print with red as the tiger stripes. It looks pretty cool. I mean, I'm not a big fan of that model of mount, so.
I'm not either. I like them okay. They're all right, but this one looks pretty cool, but it's not my favorite. It's not my first choice.
So now this is pretty cool. The Pocket Watcher. Which is a pet, and the Pocket Watcher looks pretty dope, dude. It's a cool looking pet, one of the more like fleshed out detailed ones. I'm sure it floats right beside you, so I can get behind a pet like that. That looks pretty cool.
It does look dope. I agree. I like it.
The costume this month is Toxin Doctor. Kind of looks like a poisonish version of the one that's currently in the store.
Looks like something straight out of Gotham.
Looks pretty dope, dude.
Yeah.
Hats is the Floral Skull Fascinator, which is.
I think I'll take a hard pass on that. Red.
I mean, you know, you never know, sure, dude. You get that female model, and it could be a cool looking thing on like a warden or something like that. You know,
maybe
shaman
maybe.
Type looking thing.
I won't rule it out, but you know, it's
to each it's their what it own. Is, I guess.
That's right.
Hollow Jack Crown Crates, which is the new Crown Crate. It's got like a little skull looking thing and a Reaper Harvest Crown Crates. What the heck? Okay, so the Hollow Jack ones are for a limited time, only through 24th or 28th will those be available. And they'll have a mystery connection of Hollow Jack related things. Now, from October 31st to November 4th, another very short period, a mysterious fraction of the Grim Reaper related items will be in there.
Sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off, but that's why I think that the new moon crates will stay in there, because these are such short periods of time.
Yeah, that makes sense. Makes sense.
Yeah.
So now these include motifs throughout the like the Meridian crafting motif, which I believe has been in there before, the Dragon Guard crafting motif, and the Ancient Dragon Hunter armor pack, which is in there right now. They're pretty cool looking sets. You know, again, the more armor, the more appearances, the better, I think.
Yeah, for sure.
And another, so, you know, they've been adding the arms to these monster sets. And this month is the Pirate Skeleton Arms Pack, which is just basically skeleton arms with gloves on them, which is pretty cool.
I like it, dude. I think it's cool. It's nice.
And yeah, so DLC, the Dragonhold DLC game pack is coming out. We kind of all are hyped up about that. And they have the new collector's edition stuff out, which is a cool looking Dragon Slayer green colored horse mount with armor on it. Looks pretty cool. It also has a wolf with the dragon skull armor on there as well. And
it does look dope. It looks dope, but I'm just not a big horse. If I'm going to get a cool mount in a game, I want it to be something other than a horse. You know what I mean? Like, I want it to be something a little bit different. The horse looks cool, and some of the horses do look pretty dope, but I prefer other mounts over the horses.
Yeah. Yeah, I do too. But that is a cool looking horse for sure.
Oh, it is. It's kind of striped, almost like a zebra. It looks pretty cool.
Okay, so moving on to the events. The event tickets that we earn in the Dragon Rise event can also be used, but we already mentioned a couple of things that it could be used for, but it will also be used to buy furniture, which is a class Fang and Flame music box. You'll get all your furnishing packs from Mafala, the theme, the items that are themed after that statue that we're getting for free, The Hollow Jack furnishings, which are dope, dude. I want these for my house. The graves and pumpkins and all that stuff is super cool. Yes.
They look amazing, dude. I love all of the Hollow Jack stuff. To me, looks so cool. I love it.
Same goes for the Witch and Coven stuff. Pretty cool looking ominous trees and
dude
and stuff like that.
With both of those coupled together would look amazing. Hollow Jack and Witch's Coven, that would look so good.
So now so here are the houses that are available. The Wraith Home, which will only be available from October 17th through the 31st. It'll be on sale, I'm sure, just like all the other events. And then the Exorcised Coven Cottage, which is a cool-looking witch cottage. And then they're also throwing on the Lucky Cat Landing, which is an Elsewhere home.
Dope.
The rest of the mounts in there will be the another horse with like dragon skull armor called the Dread Arlian Charger. The Kai-bound Cinch Panther, which is a pretty cool looking cinch pet, kind of has like a cow pattern on its skin.
Yeah, that's more my style right there. I think that one looks dope.
Look pretty cool. And then the legendary dragon horse, which is the one that's available inside of when you purchase the collector's pack. Pets are a Sep Adder, which is a snake with wings, basically. And then the one Bordy mentioned, which is the Witch's Infernal Familiar, which is basically a cool looking cat with a witch hat.
I like it. I like it a lot. It's cool.
And then finally, the legendary Dragon Wolf, again, available in the Collector's Edition. Finally, the Polymorphs. These are really cool-looking Polymorphs, dude. Pumpkin Spectre, which is, dude, it looks sick, man. That looks like Nightmare Before Christmas with an actual pumpkin head, and he's glowing. It looks so cool.
Dude. Yes, I love that poly. That might be my favorite polymorph I've ever seen in the game right there. That thing is absolutely amazing. I love it.
And then the Scarecrow Spectre, which is equally as cool. Cool looking scarecrow looking thing. And then your Werewolf Lord, which that's a pretty cool transmog, dude. Or polymorph.
It actually is. It looks pretty dope, yeah. My favorite is the pumpkin one, though, without a doubt. The pumpkin specter is just too good.
Yes, and we don't want to encourage people to use werewolf, so the Werewolf Lord is is maybe frowned upon for that simple fact. And then finally, the Style Parlor, which is markings, which is warrior, poet, skull tattoos. Those are pretty cool looking tattoos on your face. I would wear something
like that.
Have
you ever? Yeah, have you ever seen any that are colored like that?
No. They look pretty. I like that. Reminds me of the Ultimate Warrior, the wrestler back in the day, the kind of his face paint.
Yeah, it kind of does. All I've ever seen in there, and I could be wrong, there may be some other colored face paints like that, but all I've ever seen are like the black. That looks really cool.
Yeah, I would be okay with rolling one of those in the crate, so. All right, well, that does it for the events coming up and our news section of the podcast. And so we're going to go ahead and move on to our main topic tonight, which is class identity. We covered this a little bit, Bordy, two episodes ago, but ESO kind of formally addressed it because I think there were a lot of questions when they mentioned class identity in one of the previous update packages or announcements. So. Bordy, you've read over this. What are your initial thoughts of Zoss's opinion on class identity?
All right. So first of all, I would like to say I think this is a very positive post that they posted here. Because whenever you start talking about class identity, everyone has a different opinion on what that means. And we discussed that a couple episodes ago, and your opinion differed from my opinion. And that was just us talking. So if our opinions differed, then you can imagine how many other opinions are out there. So this, to me, is a great article that they posted that addresses specifically what class identity is to them and the direction that they're heading with class identity. And I love it. I read through this article, and I think there's a lot of good stuff in here. I think they are on the right track, without a doubt. I know some of the combat changes have been a little bit crazy here lately, and there's been these huge sweeping changes, and I hope that they kind of back off on the sweeping changes a little bit. Change is great. We all can agree on that, but the way they're going about it is a little on the rough side. But this article right here kind of it gives me a lot of hope in the fact that they do have a direction. They do know what class identity means to them. They know their end goal, right? Like, they know what they want to do with class identity. And that is a huge point for me. And I think it's a good one. And so overall, my impressions of reading it without getting into the details just yet was excitement. I really was happy that they posted this and that they addressed such a hot topic that has been going on for a while. A lot of games wouldn't do that. A lot of games wouldn't address it. They would just let it go and then let it ride. The ESO, you know, ZOS, they addressed that specific topic in a post that outlines it. And it's awesome. I really, really like that they did that.
Yeah, I mean, so here, two of the things they really touch base on in this article, and I don't think we should probably go like read the entire article, but just kind of hit the high points. The two things that they really focus on is power fantasy and play patterns. Summing it up, power fantasy is basically creating an identity, a visual identity, and a feel for each class, to where is if you're interacting with that class, whether it be running a dungeon with that class or fighting against them in PvP, it's easily recognizable that that person is this class by, you know, the animations of their skills. And again, like, you know, Dragon Knights have a lot of fire, sorcerers have a lot of lightning. So in tying those visuals inside of the classes, which I think we both agree is a very positive thing.
Absolutely, man. Absolutely. Right now, there's a couple classes that are kind of skirting that line, for sure. And it'll be nice. They did make a point in here that, you know, if you're fighting a Dragon Knight tank, you should fully know that that's what you're fighting, just based on the visuals and based on the skills that they're running. And I think that is a step in the right direction, man, because so many people rely on skills outside of their class kit that you don't know what they are. And so this helps with that a lot. And I'm excited for them to head in this direction.
I think one of the main offenders, I think, is obviously right now, at least, is stamina classes and the weapon abilities. You and I play a lot of BGs. One of the things you interact with on a regular basis inside of a BG is if people are using a bow, they're typically using mostly bow skills. If people are using the two-hander, they're basically using this weapon skills to deal damage for the most part, right? Of course, we have buffs from classes and everything that increase your damage, but, you know, and that can be a little, you know, it gets a little boring. That's the best term I can think of right now. When you fight those people, just for the fact that you're constantly getting killed by the same skill over and over again. So I think it's very positive that they're mentioning that they notice this is a problem, and it sounds like they want to move into a direction that leans more on class abilities and less on weapon abilities.
Yes, which I think is great. And they did kind of answer one of my questions too. And one of my very big concerns is that, you know, I was worried last time we had this discussion, you know, you had read it that they were going to try to transform the classes more into what the Necro is. The Necro has a very clear path for DPS, a very clear path for healing, and a very clear path for tanking. And I was kind of the opinion that, you know, I didn't really like that too much, because I think, you know, a Nightblade should be a Nightblade. It should be a DPS class, you know, but the more I thought about that, and I've had a little bit of time to think about it, you made a great point last time too. And that, what I am against is exactly what makes ES so unique, because you can play every role with every class, and there's not a lot of MMOs you can do that. And so that does provide a lot of variety. And with this article, it leads me to believe that they can fulfill class identity and allowing you to play every role at the same time. And one of the sentences that I read that was important to me is it says, to be clear, our goal is for every class to be viable, not necessarily optimal, in any role without heavily relying on non-class skill lines. So they want you to be able to play every role. They're aware that every class is not going to be great at what they do. So like a Nightblade tank may not be as good as a Dragonite tank or whatever. I'm just using that as an example, which is fine to me. I think if they go that route, that's fine. I was a little bit worried that they were trying to balance them so that every class could tank and tank effectively. And that just isn't going to work, right? So this article answered a lot of questions for me. And it was very well put together. They hit a lot of highlights and a lot of important things. It's good. Very good.
Yes, I'm kind of summarizing the last topic, which is play patterns. Again, I think with most good MMOs, you have a rotation of some sorts that feels very unique to that class. And they did mention that is also their goal. Not only is it to be unique as far as appearance themed, but also to kind of play in a way that feels like you're this hammer-wielding, fire-breathing Dragon Knight or this lightning-quick sorcerer, for your rotation and your play patterns to kind of feel identical or identified through the class versus, just, again, going back to the weapon thing, just constantly spamming execute with your two-hander. Or constantly spamming rapid fire with your bow. Those don't feel like anything other than, repetitive. And it seems like their goal is to move away from play style like that and move closer to something that's like just, again, a very class identified, unique feeling of play.
Yes, I got that exact impression by reading this article too. And everything in here is really good information. If you haven't read it yet, I highly suggest that you go read it. If you're concerned about class identity, even if you're not, this gives you a good idea of where the game is heading. And I know there's a ton of concerns about the combat changes that are going on right now. And I think rightfully so to some degree, because the changes were just sweepingly massive. And there's so many people that love this game. And whenever you make changes of that degree, the worry becomes that they change things too much and that it runs people off. And I think we've kind of seen that a little bit, but with this article, hopefully this gives people a little bit of faith like it did for me. Definitely renewed my faith in their team because they clearly do have a vision and they are clearly trying to head in that direction. They may not get it right the first time. It may take them a little bit to get there, but hopefully what we're in store for the next year, what I would love to see is them do incremental, smaller changes to combat instead of these huge sweeping changes. It's just to me personally, it's not fun for me to have to redo my entire build because I'm not a guy who can sit there and play for 8 to 10 hours a day, right? Like I have a career, I have kids, I have a wife, I have other obligations as an adult. So I get 2 to 3, if I'm lucky, sometimes 4 hours a night to play, most of the time more around 2. So I have to spend my time wisely, and I don't want to spend that time grinding out gear and theory crafting builds and getting builds at every turn. I want to spend my time enjoying the game and enjoying the in-game content that I've worked for months to get to. And I think there's so many people in the community that are the same way. I think there's a very, very small percentage of people who play this game, 8 to 10 hours a day and just really, really grind it out. I think most people are probably a little bit more casual and play it a couple hours a night. And so with those sweeping changes, makes it tough. Hopefully, with this vision in mind, they can kind of reel that in a little bit. And I am very optimistic about the future of ESO after reading this.
Yes, I feel the same way. It can only be positive to, again, flesh out each class and the feel of that. And making, each role viable, I think, is going to be huge for group composition and trials or dungeons or your PvP builds, etc. So it's an exciting future, and I hope that as a community we can kind of be patient with them and kind of give them good feedback to help flesh out this new vision that they have, which I think is a very positive one for the game overall.
Yeah, yeah. Saying you suck Zoss typically doesn't help anything. Just throwing that out there. Constructive feedback that actually provides value, I'm sure, is what they're looking for. They probably will ignore your comment if you say you suck Zoss, and that doesn't get anything accomplished. So positivity is the way to go, man.
Yes. All right, Bordy. Well, that's another episode in the books. Let's tell people where they can find you.
Yeah, man, you can find me streaming almost every night. I stream 5 to 6 nights a week over at twitch.tv/BDLG. I start my stream typically at about 9:30 p.m. CST. I kind of take the late shift. 9:30 p.m. CST until about 12:30 a.m. CST after my kiddos are in bed and nice and asleep and I can have some peace and quiet to stream. You can also find me on Twitter at TheBDLG. And you can always contact me via studioloot.com by clicking the Contact Us button.
Same goes for me. I'm also over there on studioloot.com. You can connect to us in the same way. You can also use my Twitter account, which is I am Redbird, and that's Redbird with a Y instead of an I. And twitch.tv, Redbird. Oh, is it a backslash or a forward slash? I always mess that up. Twitch.tv/Redbird with a Y.
I just always say slash.
Slash, so yeah, know, blah. Man. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Sure. and that's another great place for me to find me. We're building the guild, man. So if you guys are interested in joining an ESO guild, come over and join House SL. We'd love to have you. Again, RadDad20, thank you very much for the review. If you guys wouldn't mind, if you listen to us on iTunes, please leave a 5-star review. And if you leave a actual text review, we will read it on the podcast, as well as give you a shout out, just like we did for RadDad. All right, guys, thanks for listening. We really appreciate it. Thank you so much for kind of being part of this community that we're trying to grow. And we will see you next time.